Chris Brown's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women.
As an edge rusher, you always want to get the sacks. At the end of the day, you can't be result-driven, at least for me. I try to be more process-driven, so I know if I'm doing everything right, I'm hitting the quarterback, winning my rushes, that's what it's all about. The sack numbers come. You really can't control that. It's like a quarterback trying to throw touchdowns. You know what I'm saying? You could play a good game as a quarterback and win the game without throwing six touchdowns or four touchdowns. So it's kind of, I kind of see it like that, and I try not to get too caught up in the stats, because you could have a good game and not have a sack. And I've played, and there's been games where I have one and a half or two sacks, and it's like I didn't even play my best ball, but it's like that's just kind of how the cookie crumbled on that day.
Greg Rousseau, some good process there from Greg Rousseau. Good mindset. Jeremy and Joe, it is Football Friday. We welcome in Chris Brown, Bills play-by-play man, to join us on the Western Hotline to preview Bills and Seahawks. Before we get to that, Chris, where do you come down on, you know, getting mad at officials? Does it keep you up at night? Is it the kind of thing you've accepted? Because I tend to be a little further on that, down that road of just, it's how it goes, and I'm not sure what the answers are. Last night's game featuring a face mask for a safety that didn't get called, and it's got the league talking about officiating today.
Yeah, I have done a little bit of self-help in this area. Basically, what I do is I go into a game saying they're going to make mistakes. I just, like, mentally prepare myself, because at the end of the day, refs are human, and they're going to make mistakes. The game moves fast, and their job is not easy. So I just try to tell myself they're not going to be perfect. So get ready for those, and then when they happen, do your best to just take a deep breath and go to the next play. I'll be the first one to admit that I, even with all that preparation, it's still difficult.
Yeah, last night, it was already an 8-point game. Maybe Minnesota doesn't have much of a chance, but it pretty much died with that call. But anyway, Bills and Seahawks. You know, there was a clip earlier this year, Chris, from the Seattle head coach, where this might have been like week two or three, when all the talk about, you know, cover two and the shells and all that stuff was happening. And Mike McDonald made a comment about how if you can stop the run and play cover two, you got something pretty good going. And I thought, here's a guy that is cut from the same cloth as Sean McDermott in this regard, right? The Bills' base defense, they love to play two safeties and try to stop the run as best they can that way. So McDonald's matchup here defensively, like, he's a first-year head coach, and they're off to a decent start there in Seattle. But it strikes me as a defense that wants to play a lot like the way the Bills play.
Right. I mean, he comes, you know, from that Baltimore coaching tree, and the problem for them is they've had trouble stopping the run. They're down near the bottom of the league. I think they're 27th or 28th against the run. So part one of his plan has not gone according to plan for the most part through the first seven games. They are 4-3, so they found ways to win games. And I think, you know, it's their number one passing offense that they have to thank for that. I was surprised by this. Not to flip sides of the ball here, but if you count Geno Smith's 20 sacks, the Seahawks have thrown exactly twice as much as they have run the football, which is a pretty big disparity. I think they're 65-35 pass to run. And they've got a good back in Kenneth Walker, and their offensive line on the edges is a little dicey right now due to injury. So it's kind of surprising to see them press forward with this passing game, but they seem committed to it.
I wonder, Chris, if they're doing that. I'm thinking of Brady's last year, maybe in Tampa, where they never ran the ball, but it wasn't even because, like, they didn't like the running backs. It was because their line was so bad. It was just, we've got to throw it and throw it quickly to protect our line. And maybe that's what Seattle's doing here, is their line, they feel like they can't hold up when they run the ball. So I wonder if it's less an indictment on Walker and more of that. And also with Metcalf maybe dealing with an injury here and maybe not playing, you might think this is a game where to prevent the Bills' D-line from just eating, maybe the Seahawks try to run a lot of short passes in this game.
Yeah, it's just, I was looking at some of their last two games. I mean, they take their shots on intermediate and downfield routes. So I don't know. I mean, I guess they just say, Geno, look out. You're going to get hit a few times, but we're going to throw it, and we're going to ride with you. And, I mean, I guess it's worked for the most part, and from a point production standpoint. And, you know, they have receivers who we know can make big plays with the trio they have out there with, you know, Metcalf, Lockett, and Njigba. So, I don't know. It's just very interesting in a year where running the football is up, like noticeably up across the league. They have gone the opposite direction. It's just kind of an interesting outlier, Seattle.
Yeah. What do you make of Geno's story, by the way? Like him being in this game like 10 years after we probably last were thinking about him regularly with the Jets, that he's like went away for 7 years and now is like, I think, a pretty good starting quarterback.
It is crazy to think that, you know, that's the second quarterback off the board in the E.J. Manuel draft class. I think those two for me are always going to be tied together for whatever reason, but I always marveled at how different he looked in college at West Virginia in comparison to how he looked with the Jets. And I think he's finally getting back to that freewheeling, throw it all over the yard type quarterback that we saw in that wide open offense at West Virginia for those that can.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Remember that far back, but kudos to him, man. He completely resuscitated his career. And he's a legit starting quarterback in this league. I mean, I'm not putting him in your top 7 or 8, but he's probably somewhere between, I don't know, 12 and 15. I mean, you can win with the guy. I think that's been proven for the most part. So be interesting to see if the Seahawks can kind of take the next step here. They're in a favorable position in the division with San Francisco stumbling out there in the NFC West. So it's going to be a race out there. So they've certainly got plenty of incentive to keep pushing forward here.
Chris Brown joining us on the Western Hotline. We're still not exactly waiting for Josh Allen's first interception. One would expect it will happen one way or another. But, Chris, how much do you think Allen's protecting of the football has been about him, has been about Brady? You know, it's a team effort here to make sure they don't turn the ball over, something Allen has done in the past and gotten away with to a large degree, I think. What do you think the primary reason is that they've been able to keep him clean in that regard?
I think part of it is some of his decision-making. I think he's matured somewhat in that, in not putting the ball in harm's way as much. It was interesting. I was poring over some statistics this week, and he has had 10 turnover-worthy passes this season. And I think we can all remember a few through the course of the first 7 games. You know, he's frustrated at the end of the first half, and Houston throws a gift to a defensive back, and he drops it. There have been a couple others like that as well. So there's a little bit of luck in there, too. But I do tend to think that the law of averages is going to catch up with Josh, and eventually those will come, hopefully not in bunches. But I think he's matured a little bit in some of his decision-making. I don't feel like he's put the ball at risk too much, particularly down the field with low percentage passes, you know, double coverage, things like that. I think that's where he's kind of taken a step forward in where he's going with the football.
Did you catch our trivia earlier this week, the 5 stadiums Allen has not yet played in?
I did not.
Oh, this is one.
You're going to put me on the spot?
No, if you want a quick run at it, you can take a run.
Well, I know he didn't play in San Francisco because that game had to be played in Arizona during COVID.
Right.
And for the same reason, what are we looking at? So Seattle, that would be the other one. And then who else was the NFC West home game? Oh, no, he's played in SoFi, so that's not right.
Yeah.
I'm trying to reach back. I think Carolina was another one.
The other answers, right? There's two more that are because of schedule. Atlanta and Carolina come up next year. And then the other one is a game he missed due to injury, which he will play later this year, Indy. He has not played in Seattle or Indy, so we'll check those boxes this next couple weeks.
Yeah, I appreciate the assist there.
But a big test. I mean, you know, for a first-timer to go into Seattle, I mean, this is it at least has the reputation of being the one that might be the toughest to play in.
Yeah, interesting conversation we had on One Bills Live earlier this week. We had Seattle radio color analyst Dave Wyman on with us, and he offered this up unsolicited. We didn't even ask him. He said that in his estimation, the home atmosphere is not as hostile as it's been in previous years, in his opinion. And I was like, all right, is this guy just blowing smoke here, like trying to set us up? Or, you know, but he said, no, like the first few home games, he said he's noticed a discernible difference in the atmosphere, in the noise, and the constant din that he had become accustomed to. He's like, there in years past, there is literally no let up in the noise, like as soon as the opponent gets the ball. He said, and I just haven't experienced that this season. I mean, who knows? It could change in the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
But I felt like it was a setup, so we'll have to see.
And we'll see how many Bills fans are able to make the trip
very
as
quickly.
Well.
Is this only your second trip to Seattle, Chris? Because it's only been like two game road games in 20 years.
Yeah, I was there in 2016 with the ridiculous Dan Carpenter at the end of the first half field goal debacle, and my broadcast partner Eric Wood got injured in that game. I think he broke his leg again and had to exit early. So I was there in 2016, and I think before that,
2004 is the last one before
Bledsoe to McGahee on a fourth down pitch.
Oh, yeah, I was there for that.
Okay,
game.
The cheeseburger game. The malarkey took him out for cheeseburger game. Yep.
And then in 2000, we were actually out there in Husky Stadium while they were building the new place, and that was Doug Flutie's last game as a Buffalo Bill in a driving rainstorm.
Okay, good.
All right. Well, safe travels, and we'll be listening.
All right, take care, guys.
Thanks, Chris. Chris Brown on the Western Hotline. His appearance brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com, by Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills, and by Lockport Outdoor Store, high impact gear for hardworking men and women. Have some instant trivia. Have the Super Great American Football Friday Frenzy. Who needs to get results? Plenty coming up. We'll also spend some time remembering some Seahawks. Jeremy and Joe. I also, by the way, and something else. Brad Marchand. You know, like that meme, the worst person in the world, made a good point.
He made a good point.
He did. He had a moment in the sun. Brad Marchand, he made a really good point. I don't know if you saw the Bruins controversy that dusted up because of a bench blow up.
Uh-huh.
So we'll get that news to you along the way as well. Jeremy and Joe, happy Football Friday.